Well, we're going to hear from God's Word just now, a reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and I've asked Mark Ferguson if he would come and read from Ephesians chapter 4.
I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you recall to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen.
Well, over the past few weeks, we have indeed been looking at a number of biblical images given to us in the New Testament to help us understand what we're called to be as a church here in the city centre. We've seen that as a temple of living stones built together, we exist as a church to proclaim the greatness and glory of God to one another and to this city. As a family bonded together in Christ, we're called to love one another with the love we have been loved with in the gospel. As one body with many members, we're called to model unity in diversity and to work for the good of our whole church body so that we can grow up together. And this morning now I want to pick up a fourth image, but I want to start by showing you this. Now, I wonder if anyone knows what this is. This is a grow bag. Has anyone ever used these in their garden? I see some people nodding and saying yes. I love these because I like gardening, but I don't really know what I'm doing. But with a grow bag, you have everything you need in the bag to grow something. All you need is a seed to put it in, and then water. But everything needed for growth is in this bag. You put in your seed, you water it, and if it's an onion seed, you'll grow onions, although that might not be a good example because it might not be deep enough for onions. That shows anyone a little bit about what I'm talking about. But in just the same way, as in that grow bag, everything there is needed. If you plant a seed in it and it gets water, everything's needed for growth. So in a good local church, if you plant a baby Christian there, everything that is needed for growth is there. God's church is his great center for Christian growth. And that's the image I want to have before us this morning as we look at Ephesians chapter 4. And the refrain I want to keep making as we go through this message is that we gather together to grow together. We gather together to grow together. I'm borrowing that from Graham Bynum's book on the church, God's New Community, and I want us to keep that fixed in our minds. And this is really important for us this morning, because growth in the grace and knowledge of Christ, growing into mature Christians, should be a priority for all of us. We never stop growing, or we shouldn't ever stop growing as Christians. It's interesting that the Apostle Peter is the one who writes about this so explicitly in his epistles. He was a man through the Gospels who we just watch him growing. And then right on through the book of Acts as well, really up until the Apostle Paul takes center stage. Here's what Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You ever seen a baby hungry for milk? Isn't that a mighty illustration? That's what we're to be like, craving the Word of God, the spiritual milk, so that we can grow up in our salvation. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what I hope we'll see together this morning is that if we're sincere about wanting to grow as Christians, as we are commanded to, we will be seriously committed to active membership in a good local church. Because the local church is God's great grow bag for the Christian. How does this work, though? How is it that just by gathering together, we grow together? Well, I think that's what Ephesians chapter 4 shows us. And I want to answer that question. How has God set up the church, or how has Jesus set up the church to be this great center for Christian growth? And I want to answer it from this passage with three steps. Number one, Jesus has given his church gifted ministers of the word who minister the word so that the people will grow. Now, the key verses in mind here are verses 11 through 14, but I want us to pick up the flow of thought from the start of the chapter, really briefly moving through the first half of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 in the book of Ephesians is a real pivot around which the whole book turns. The first three chapters are full of doctrinal instruction. Paul's basically saying, this is what God has done to bring together God's new society in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 4, he says, now as believers, you're called to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Christ has brought you into the new society of God, and now you're called to live a life worthy of that privilege, that calling. We're to bear with one another in love. We're to be characterized by humility, gentleness, patience. We're to do everything we can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to be one as we are brought together and made one in Christ. Do you notice from verses 4 to 6 all the ones that are given to us? One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. You've been made one new people by one God, one Spirit, one body, one baptism. You're to be one together, united as a family in Christ. And what I think Paul starts to do in verse 7 is to help us if we're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by that, because you look at this live a life worthy of the calling you've received. What an intimidating call from Paul. And if you're feeling a bit nervous about that, or you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by it, I think what Paul does in verse 7 is he turns our mind now to how we are equipped by Jesus to grow up into this one body unity to the glory of God. In a sense, verse 7 tells us that Jesus gives grace gifts to the church to help us grow into what we are called to be. So in a sense, Paul's saying you're not left on your own to accomplish this unity and this growth. Jesus has equipped us and set the church up and structured it in such a way that we can grow into everything Christ wants us to be. Now, verses 8 to 10 can seem initially a little bit confusing, and I want to move through them quite quickly, but I don't want you to think I'm just skirting past them. We need to, again, just follow the flow through. So what Paul's trying to do is establish Christ has given grace gifts to the church. And now he alludes to a psalm in the Old Testament to try and show us how this works. Psalm 68 is a psalm that speaks of God moving from Mount Sinai. Do you remember after the Israelites came out of Egypt? God brought them in chapter 19 of Exodus to Sinai. And then on from Sinai, he led them on through the wilderness until he established them in his land after a generation had died out. Psalm 68 is a psalm that gloriously speaks of God who was enthroned on Sinai, arising and moving and settling in Zion, Jerusalem, establishing his temple in the city and being enthroned on the Ark of the Covenant. And Paul alludes to this and says it's actually like Jesus. He descended from his throne in glory, and he lived a righteous life, and he died on the cross, and then he ascended, he rose up and ascended to the right hand of God to be enthroned with God in heaven, and from that place he gave gifts to his church. Seen most clearly at Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out by the ascended Christ on the church, all the believers empowered and gifted for the good of the building up of Christ's church. And that's what all this language is in verse 9, the parenthesis. If he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? That simply means Christ, who was enthroned, he came down and was incarnated and died on the cross. And then, verse 10, he who descended is the one who also then ascended back up to heaven, far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, and as King of Kings, give gifts to his church. So, then verse 11 comes. Let's specify now some of the gifts that Christ gave to his church so that the church could be empowered to grow up into everything he's called it to be. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, or the shepherd teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, it's really interesting here. The ministries or the gifts that are spoken of here are gifted persons, roles, ministries given to the church so that it could be built up and grow into everything it should be. And it's interesting, in this initial list here, all these gifted persons are ministries or gifts that are word ministries. I can't think of a better way to put that. Ministries that are related to proclaiming the gospel in some way, or laying a foundation of the word of God, Christian teaching. The church was built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets. These apostles and prophets given by Jesus. I believe these were foundational offices. I don't think these ministries continue today as Paul was speaking of them here. In a sense, you've got the apostles and the prophets holding the teaching, giving us a foundation, and for the rest of time, those going forward are passing down from generation to generation the apostolic message as taught. Evangelists and pastor teachers are those that proclaim that foundational message. Pastor is one of the words used to describe elders. It's just another word for elders in the church here. Those qualified and entrusted with the responsibility for shepherding and teaching in the body of Christ. So gifted ministers of the word are a gift from Jesus to his church to bring about growth in the members of the church. So this might sound a little cheeky, but biblically, I am God's gift to this church. Now you know what I'm doing there. But not just me, our elders together, the shepherd teachers, a gift from Jesus, men ordained and appointed to govern, oversee, for your good, to love you, care for you, discipline you when needed, so that we can grow up and not be unruly children, but can be ordered and everything present so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And so let me apply this and take myself out of the picture. We must, as a church, give thanks to Jesus for qualified and gifted men and women who can serve in this church in appropriate roles for the good of the gospel, and especially for gifted men who can take the office of elder, shepherd teachers who can care. So pray for your leaders, that we would be godly, that we would love the Lord with all our hearts, that we wouldn't just want our own preferences, but we would serve for the good of this whole church. Your prayer for us as leaders will be for the good of this whole body. But now here's another layer given that shows us how this growth bag of the church works. Because it's easy to think, okay, the elders or the gifted ministers of the word are given by Jesus to build up the church. Great, I can sit back and enjoy them doing their work and I can just grow. We don't get away with it that easily. Here's a second lesson from this. Jesus has given these gifted ministers of the word to the church to equip the saints for their work of building up the body. Jesus is giving these gifted ministers of the word to the church to equip the saints for doing the work of building up the body. Verse 12a, look at it closely, could so easily have been left out of this equation. So the passage would read, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, skip 12a, for building up the body of Christ. But it doesn't say that. Jesus gives the gifted ministers of the word to equip the saints for their work of ministry, for the work of ministry, for building up the body. So, this brings a new layer onto how Christ has ordered his church so that it will see growth. The ministers, the gifted ministers of the word, are the equippers and facilitators of the members doing the work of ministry so that each other, we can all be built up. So as a teaching elder, I am called to minister God's word faithfully to all of you to equip you to minister to your brothers and sisters around you. If I try to do everything, I will stunt the growth of this church. Isn't that powerful? And we're so used to this thought of one-man ministry. If I try to do it all, I'll stunt your growth. My job is to teach faithfully, to empower you, train you up and equip you so you can be everything you're called to be and gifted by Christ to be. And each of us have something to offer for the good and the health of this church. Verse 7 says that so explicitly. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we have to just step back for a moment and ask ourselves some questions. I want you to ask yourself this morning. How am I contributing to the growth and well-being of my brothers and sisters sitting around me this morning? Another way to ask that, am I serving God in this church according to the gifts Christ has given to me? Now you might be saying to yourself, about 20 years ago I was and I could, but now I just can't anymore. Are you praying? The gift of intercession should not be underestimated. There might be some who are frustrated here this morning because either you're not finding a way in to serve well. You're just like, I wish I could get a little niche that I could serve in this way. And you're frustrated because you've either tried it and it's kind of been a bit frustrating, or you just haven't found a way in. Or perhaps there are some who are frustrated this morning because you feel like a square peg in a round hole. There was no one else to fill the hole, so you thought, I better do it. But you're serving, and there's no joy, there's no efficiency and power because it's in line with your gifting, and you're just kind of getting on with it. That is noble. That is to be commended. But it's not the ideal model that we want to work towards. And I know perhaps you're going to be thinking, yes, 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 but this. And I know all of those limitation of resources and all of those things. But the point I want us to just focus in on is this question. How am I contributing to the growth of my brother and sister sitting beside me this morning according to the gifts Christ has given me? Now, that question might confuse you. And if so, it's the start of a prayer for you. Lord, help me to answer that question. Show me how I do this. I don't want to just be a passenger. I don't want this church to be known as the faithful few that do it all. I want to play my part. Christ has given gifted ministers of the word to equip us all to serve in line with our gifting. This will lead to growth in the members of the body. When I speak to my kids in the morning at breakfast, sometimes I ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Of course, we get all kinds of answers. I got pastor once, which was lovely, and everything else that you could imagine under the sun. These next verses that we're about to move through, and this third point I want to make, show us what Jesus wants us to be when we grow up. So what I'm saying here is, point one, Christ has given gifted ministers of the word to build up the body. Those gifted ministers of the word train up the believers so that they can serve, so that each other will be built up by all of our ministry. But to what end? What are we growing to be? What is the great vision that we're working towards? And it is simply that Jesus wants us to be mature and stable disciples. Look at verse 13. This equipping the saints for works of ministry, for building up the body, is until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So to collapse that down into just two phrases, here's what we're to grow in: unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, and we're to mature so that we attain the whole measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what does all that mean? Simply, we are to strive to know Jesus more and understand the gospel more. And as we know him more and as we understand the gospel more, we will be transformed to become more like Jesus steadily. As we behold him in the gospel, we become like him. As we behold, we become. As we behold, we become. So if you're beholding all the wrong things, you're going to become all the wrong things. If you're beholding Jesus and the gospel, you will become more like him until that day when we will be like him fully, for we will see him as he is. So a corporate understanding and appreciation of all that Jesus has done for us. That's what we're to help each other with. All our ministries are to be towards this end. Working to help the church, help one another, understand and appreciate everything that Jesus has done for us. This should be our heart's desire for each other. We should be coming in and saying, my heart's desire for my brother and sister is that they would come to know and love Jesus more. And I'm going to do everything I can do this morning to help them to that end. And you have gifts from Jesus that are specially for you so that you can do that in a way that some of us can't. Just that little hello, how are you doing? Or that little remembering that thing through the week that the person was nervous about. Just that little welcome at the door. Or that hand on the shoulder, I'm praying for you. All of these things contributing towards us building each other up. And what does this lead to? Look at verses 14 and 15. If we are working towards building each other up in our understanding and appreciation of Jesus and all he has done for us, and we're working to see each other grow to be more like Jesus, we will no longer be children. How many churches have you heard of where there are silly squabbles that are just like children nattering on? If we're working towards his great vision of building each other up towards Christ, then we're going to not be like silly little squabbling children anymore. We're going to be strong, stable, not vulnerable, not blown around by the latest new cool theological idea. We'll stick with the old apostolic gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. But we're going to be working it out in each other's lives, Sunday by Sunday, as we gather in the midweek meeting or house groups or in whatever meetings we gather in. And look at verse 15. By means of speaking the truth in love. Here the works of service are presented as speaking the truth in love. That is gospel proclamation to one another. That is correction when needed. That is encouragement in the truth. That is accountability, all the things that we have lost as a church. The idea of someone correcting me, we would throw our heads up, and yet we should welcome someone saying, I noticed you lost your temper there. I do it too, but let's pray together that we would be more patient. Is that even possible here? It should be. Now, we got to be careful. We shouldn't be just saying, oh, here, I've been waiting for a chance to tell that person this for a long time, and there's my permission this morning. No. Speaking the truth in love. That is never a vindictive getting at someone. That is encouragement, exhortation. If someone's discouraged, you're thinking, how can the gospel encourage them? Maybe I could help them by just saying, I'm praying the gospel truths for you this week. That's speaking the truth in love. It involves all of this. So, we do this, and look at what it says. We will grow up in every way. into him who is the head, who is Christ. So we have to ask, are we doing this here at Great Vic? Are we engaged appropriately in one another's lives as the Bible teaches us to be? Do we actually care for the spiritual well-being of each other, or do we just think that's someone else's job? As a pastor, already in the couple of months I've been here, I've got to see many ways in which this wonderful speaking the truth in love is already going on here. So I've been challenging you about pushing on with this, but let me encourage you. I have visited and spoken to people who have shared with me lovely little relational interactions that have meant the world to them. And it's happening here, and that is pleasing to Christ. So let's just breathe it into action all the more. Let's not miss out on this building each other up in love. And let's see again how verse 16 holds these two tensions in place. Just look at verse 16. It tells us, ultimately, all growth in the church comes from Jesus. We can't grow unless Jesus pours out his Spirit on us and grows us up. He gives the grace, he distributes the gifts by his Spirit. It's from him the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, gains strength to grow. But look, it grows as each part does the work of ministry that leads to growth. It's from him the body grows, but it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So Jesus makes us grow as each part does its work. And every little ligament and every little tiny insignificant connecting joint matters immensely to this big picture. And so, when I turn a sermon or a message like this from the Bible into prayer, I say, Lord, I know all growth comes from you, but I know you want to use me to grow your church. Please work some of that growth through me. I want to make sure I'm doing my part. I don't want to be a passenger. Guide and help me into the ministry that you've appointed for me. And we should be praying that until we're in the grave, ascended up to be with Jesus. We gather together to grow together. God has established that his church is a great grow bag for the Christian. He's given gifted ministers of the word to minister and train. He's gifted and equipped all the members so that they will be breathed into by that shepherding, preaching, and teaching. And then they will rise up and say, I'm ready to go. That's the ideal. But let me just close with a final illustration of the importance of gathering together to grow together. You'll think I'm like a magician with a special box of tricks here, but no, I don't do that at all. This is a fatapira. Anyone ever seen one? Yanni raises a hand gingerly there. In Madagascar, we use these to cook on. You put charcoal in the top. There's usually a little grate there. And you light it up so that the charcoal's growing. And do you know what you do to get the charcoal nice and hot and glowing? You do this. You swing it back and forth to let the air run up through it. And when you do that, the whole thing flows up into this great flame. Every now and again, though, it would be too hot. And I would have to take out a charcoal or two and set them to the side. And it was amazing the contrast between the charcoal that were in here, glowing hot, and the charcoal that were over here outside of the main body of charcoal, and how they were just growing dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. We don't just gather together to grow together, and I hope this isn't too cheesy. We gather together to glow together. that the breath of God by the Spirit of God would breathe life up through us as we are serving the church as we should be, as leaders, as members, all parts playing the role. And the breath of the Lord breathes into us so that we glue each other up. That's just a normal church. That's just normal Christianity. So let's gather together to grow together, and let's gather together to glow together. And let's pray that that glow would grow into a great fire that becomes something that everyone in this city want to come and warm themselves by.